Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we will be presenting our 13th part in a 14-part series that we have titled Satan's Counterfeits. It is based upon my document titled Identifying Satan's Counterfeits, including his sinister ministers and their false doctrine. Our theme verses for this series are Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Those verses state the following. Matthew 15, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So what we're going to be talking about today is counterfeit preachers, pastors, and teachers. When I start to preach and teach on counterfeit preachers and teachers, I can get into a lot of trouble and make a lot of people mad because I want to follow the scriptural examples of folks like the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles Peter, Paul, and John, and the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. I also believe that there are times when individuals must be called out by name. Once again, I base that belief on scriptural examples. You cannot handle a serpent or a wolf with gentle hands, just as you cannot put a babe into a viper's pit or a lion's den. In Ezekiel 22, verses 23 through 31, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, Acts 20, verse 29, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we are given the following warnings. Starting in Ezekiel 22, verses 23, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. That is Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 through 31. Next, we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Verse 13, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That one deserves re-reading. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Then we got Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Starting in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." That's Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Then in Acts 20, verse 29, we have this: "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Then we have 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of." That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice that Ezekiel said that the false prophets were like roaring lions ravening the prey. Just as the prophet Ezekiel had to deal with false prophets, so did the prophet Zephaniah in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, which state the following: "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law." That's Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Notice that the princes, prophets, and priests are all likened unto roaring lions and ravening wolves. Why are they likened to roaring lions and ravening wolves? It is because they are servants of Satan. Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Can we say that there certainly is a conspiracy of her prophets? Absolutely. And it is not a conspiracy theory. Men and women are willfully deceiving and being deceived. Conspiracy develops and thrives in hotbeds of deception, heresy, and apostasy. All of it is based upon a willful rejection and hatred of the Word of God. When men and women will not stand for the truth, they will fall for every wind of false doctrine that blows by in every tempest of deception. The Holy Ghost had this to say. Once again, we get back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and read verses 2 through 4. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Folks, God is not opposed to teachers. God is opposed to teachers with itching ears. False prophets and false teachers are birthed in perverting and or rejecting the Word of God. False prophets and false teachers grow up into apostates and heretics. Apostates and heretics lead churches that have pews mostly full of unbelieving professors who have been made twofold more children of hell by being led in unbelieving sinners' prayers. A saving gospel is not being preached in most of our churches. During at least the last 60 years, false professions have become the leprosy of Bible-believing churches. Unbelieving sinners' prayers have become the vehicles of false professions. They are the religious objects that have become the nehushtans at the altars of Bible-believing churches. When we say that the saving gospel is not being preached in most of our churches, what we mean by that is that there is no emphasis on repentance. If you have not repented, then you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A claimed salvation without repentance is a faked and feigned salvation. A claimed salvation without faith is a satanic counterfeit. Faith is the father of salvation, and repentance is the mother of salvation. Faith and repentance come together in holy matrimony to conceive and produce a born-again child of God, a babe in Christ, if you will. If either faith or repentance is absent in a claim of salvation, then you have an illegitimate child of the great pretender, Satan himself. Repentance is not a work of the human will or the human flesh. Repentance is both the gift and the work of God, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. He gives us the discernment to rightly divide the word of truth when we are reading and being taught the word of God. Absent the presence of the Holy Ghost, the natural unsaved man cannot understand the things of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Absent the presence of the Holy Ghost, you cannot get saved. If the Holy Ghost is not present in you, then you are not saved. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 states this, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Folks, the Holy Ghost is your assurance of salvation. You can be saved, and you will know it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 states this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." That's 1 John 5, verse 13. The rot and heresy that is being taught in most American churches is proof that the Holy Ghost is not in the false professors or in their churches. The prophet Jeremiah could look the apostates and heretics in American churches straight in the eye and say, "Ye have perverted the words of the living God." Jeremiah 23, verse 36. Most of our churches are graveyard dead because they will not teach and abide by the words and precepts of the Bible. Ichabod has been written above their doors because the glory has departed their churches. The movement of the Holy Ghost is a manifestation of the presence and glory of God. The Bible is not being taught doctrinally in most of our so-called fundamentalist churches. At least 90% of the people in our churches are biblically illiterate. They cannot distinguish between heresy and biblical truth. They have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. There has never been a time in American history like today when the Word of God is openly scorned, mocked, and held in contempt. Biblical illiteracy among Bible-believing Christians has led them to walk in the counsel of the ungodly and to stand in the way of sinners and to sit in the seats of the scornful. The Bible gives the following warning in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Because we have men walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the ways of sinners, and sitting in the seats of the scornful, we are being blown about by every wind of doctrine. We are not to use the world's methods in running the church of the living God. That is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We are not to bring the world's dress standards and music into the church. That would be standing in the way of sinners. We are not to fellowship with so-called Christian denominations that hold doctrines that are opposed to sound biblical doctrine. That would be sitting in the seats of the scornful. With things being the way they are today, you're either going to have a limited message or a limited fellowship. If you're preaching and teaching the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Satan will make sure you have plenty of enemies in the religious and political world. Some of the greatest enemies of Bible-believing Christianity have been compromised great men of God who wanted to be liked by everyone, including lost people. Job said, "Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." That's Job 32, verse 9. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." When the praise and love of all men becomes one of the identifying marks of a ministry, you can be sure that the seeds of false doctrine and false prophecy have been sown by Satan into that ministry. When men start doing that which is right in their own eyes, then you have the same spirit of apostasy and wickedness that seized control in Israel during the dark period of the book of Judges. One of the great sins of American religious leaders since the 1850s has been that of prideful men seeking after glory and titles. Those who would aspire to be godly religious and godly political leaders would do well to listen to the advice of Job in Job chapter 32, verses 21 and 22, and also to the advice of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Job said this, and starting in verse 21, "Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, in so doing my Maker would soon take me away." Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." That was Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. We have too many men behind our pulpits and lecterns that are seeking after titles and accolades that come with seminary, or might I say cemetery, degrees from prestigious religious institutions that are busy teaching them to vainly correct and deny the Word of God. The majority of graduates from these prestigious religious institutions cannot teach and preach the Word of God line upon line and precept upon precept with the unction of the Holy Ghost, because they have grieved the Holy Ghost with their Bible correcting and Bible denying attitudes and lifestyles. Speaking in general, the graduates of most of these Bible colleges and seminaries have embraced every false way. Note the commentary of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And then in that same chapter, in verses 126 through 128, we have this. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Psalm 119, verses 126 through 128. If you truly love God and His Word, you're going to hate every false way. In today's churches, most men and women that should hate every false way have the backbones of jellyfish. They love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. If you're going to do anything that will be pleasing to God, you're going to have to love God more than you love men or the praise of men. I repeat, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking and receiving the praise of all men is the mark of a false prophet. Luke 6:26 says this, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Psalm 36:1 says this, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. The reason that we have so many false prophets today is that there is no real fear of God. There is no fear of God today in the United States of America. We want God to bless America, and yet we deny, scorn, and mock every precept that God has given us to live by. We want our sin and our prosperity too. We want a God of love and not a God of judgment. We want a God that we can call on, but not a God that can call on us. We are a country full of hell-bound sinners that are on the broad pathway to destruction. We mock God in our arrogance and self-esteem while murdering his unborn babies. We are a nation full of filthy dreamers that parade sodomy before God as if it were some kind of puppet show. These filthy dreamers have not the Spirit of God. We are a country that is full of devils and their reprobates. We are deserving of the judgment and condemnation of God. Why is it that we are so constantly at war? Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 4, gives us some indication. Verse 1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 4. We are a country full of ungodly religious people in churches that hold to ungodly doctrines that are an abomination before God and an affront to sound biblical doctrine. In America, what should be the church of the living God has been poisoned by religious leaders that are doing what is right in their own eyes. Our churches in America are full of unbelieving professors that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof and have not known the way of truth. Much of the responsibility for the downfall of the church lies in the pulpits of American churches. The Bible says this in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. And when we're talking about knowledge, we're not talking about knowledge that has been gained at the feet of unbelieving seminary professors that are gathered around the tree of knowledge. We're talking about godly knowledge that has been gained from the teaching and leadership of the indwelling Holy Ghost. True wisdom is knowledge that has been enlightened by God the Holy Ghost. Deuteronomy chapters 13 and 18 tell us how to distinguish between a true prophet and a false prophet. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." That's Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22 state the following: "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." Once again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22. We're living in an age when church leaders will not take a stand for sound Bible doctrine. The pulpits in American churches are full of heretics, apostates, and unbelievers. We have churches that are calling and ordaining sodomites to serve in the pulpits of American churches. It seems that the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Methodist Church, and the Church of Christ are leaders in this movement that includes Episcopalians and, yes, even some Baptists, including American Baptists and Southern Baptists. And when I say Southern Baptists, I'm talking about those affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. There is a denomination that was organized strictly for sodomites in America here. It is called the Metropolitan Community Church. Leviticus 18, verse 22 says this: "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Leviticus 20, verse 13 says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." The last time I checked, Romans chapter 1, 26 through 28, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, and 1 Timothy 1, verse 10 were still in the Bible. Here's what those passages say. Verse 26 of Romans chapter 1, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." That's Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says this: "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." Now, I'm not advocating violence against the sexual perverts that the King James Bible calls sodomites. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ done away with the death penalty for sexual sins in John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, and also in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. Churches have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. We'll turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and read verses 3 and 4 again. This has been a common and an overriding theme in this series of lessons that we have taught and preached on Satan's counterfeits. But verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." That again is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. How is it that Satan tears down sound biblical churches? Satan does it in the same way men of God are supposed to build those churches up. Here's God's charge to a man that would be a preacher or a teacher in a Bible-believing church. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 10 through 13. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear. But the word of God was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." That's Isaiah chapter 28, verses 10 through 13. Folks, Satan almost never attacks directly. As in the case of the Garden of Eden, Satan's prime objective was to cast doubt on the Word of God. Satan attacks the doctrines here a little and there a little. He adds a little leaven here and a little leaven there until the whole lump is leavened. Satan is very subtle. Church members who refuse to hear and receive sound doctrine will fall backward and be broken in the snare of Satan's false doctrine. I believe there is another reason that so many professing Christians are holding to false doctrines, because most churches have rejected the truth. I believe that God has also sent them strong delusion that they would and do believe a lie. I've already said that much of the responsibility for the great falling away in America's churches lies at the feet of those in pulpits. Much of the responsibility for this great falling away lies at the feet of the congregations also. Since pastors, preachers, and evangelists are called and ordained by churches, we as members of those churches are under an obligation to God to make sure that those that occupy our pulpits are preaching and teaching sound doctrine. God builds his church upon sound doctrine through the teaching ministry of God the Holy Ghost and the precious, holy Word of God. Folks, if you will boldly and openly declare the Word of God, it will preach. Galatians, I think, chapter 3, verse 8 says that it will preach. We must rest in the Word of God. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says this: "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things are so." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this: "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 states the following. Verse 12: "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Today our churches are being murdered by congregations who make enemies of the preachers and teachers who tell them the truth. The Apostle Paul said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" That's Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Today, we are living in the most biblically illiterate time in American church history. That is why we're unable to stand fast in the faith. As the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Folks, that is why a lot of our independent Baptist churches sound like nurseries. We have many church members that should have matured in the faith that are still babes in Christ because they simply will not read and study their Bible. They refuse to receive sound doctrine. Now, we must be very careful who we allow in the pulpits of our churches. We must put men in our pulpits who will stand for the truth, men who will preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The religious sharks, wolves, and roaring lions have gathered around the living bodies of Bible-believing churches seeking whom they may devour. And believe me, they are having a feeding frenzy. They are literally devouring the life's blood of Bible-believing churches. They say, "We don't want any of that bloody religion. They have gone in the way of Cain. Like Cain, they don't want any of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have murder in their hearts." There is a conspiracy of Satan's heart to replace Bible-believing churches with false prophets. And again, in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 32, we're going to read this passage of Scripture again. We've referred to it a number of times in this extended series. Verse 23 of Ezekiel 22 is where we start at. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that I should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their own heads, saith the Lord God." That's Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23-32. Folks, we're living in a time when people just will not hear the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 has its parallel in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, where he had this to say in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9-11. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, prophesy unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Then the prophet Amos also had this to say in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. This is where we are today, folks. Verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Let me reread that again. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro, and to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That's Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Folks, there comes a time when God will just set you aside and cast you away if you continue to reject the word of God. He puts a man behind a pulpit and behind a lectern to declare the word of God, not the doctrines and commandments of men, as the Lord Jesus Christ roundly condemned those in his day. We should also roundly condemn those who will not teach Bible doctrine. Thank you for joining us today.